Careful and your prayerful attention as he divides for us the word of the Lord. Andy.
Thank you, Don. I have a particular subject that I'd like to discuss. It doesn't look like I'm looking at you. I might not be. Kind of bugs me, this one eye, a little bit. You know, that song that Donnie and Joel just sang holds a lot of truth for me. Because it's because of that love that I'm able to stand before you tonight. It's because of that love that he has showed me in my life through each of you that has enabled me to perhaps put myself in a position that I could serve him in some small way. I want to talk about a subject tonight that I really didn't know how I was going to approach it. It came to me very strongly as I was driving home yesterday. I was perhaps getting a little worried, you know, it's the day before I'm supposed to preach, and I didn't really feel too comfortable with any one subject. But I did feel comfortable with the fact that he would give me a subject. And that subject tonight I'd like to talk about is victory. And I'd like to start in the third book of Nephi, the first chapter, in the 10th verse. Now it come to pass that there was a day set apart by the unbelievers. He's talking about, this is just prior to the birth of Christ. And there was a group of people who believed in the sign that would be given, and a group of people who didn't. And I'm sure many of us are familiar with the story. And this day was going to be set apart that they might destroy those who did believe. And it came to pass that when Nephi, the son of Nephi, saw the wickedness of his people, his heart was exceeding sorrowful. And it came to pass that he went out and bowed himself down upon the earth, and he cried mightily up to the Lord, to his Lord, in behalf of his people, yea, those who were about to be destroyed because of their faith in the traditions of their father. And it come to pass that he did cry mightily unto the Lord all that day. And behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, Lift up your head and be of good cheer, for behold, the time is at hand, and on this night shall the sign be given. And perhaps no greater encouragement could any man receive than that word right there, Lift up your head and be of good cheer, from the voice of God himself. And I want to read a little further, maybe. I'm not sure. Yeah. And on tomorrow come I into the world. This Christ is speaking to him. So, and on tomorrow I come into the world to show unto the world that I will fulfill all that which I have caused to be spoken by the mouth of my holy prophets. And I had this scripture because the birth of Christ is perhaps the beginning of the victory. And so I thought that was quite appropriate. I'd like to go to the Matthew, St. Matthew, in the 28th chapter. And the sixth verse to the 10th verse. And now we know in the 28th chapter, Matthew is very near it's been the crucifixion of Christ, and now it's near the resurrection of Christ. Let's see where. And Mary Magdalene was going to the tomb. And an angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, have I told you. So the angel is speaking unto him there and telling him that he's risen, and that's at the resurrection.
Galilee, and they departed quickly from the scepter with fear and with great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hell. And they came and hid him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go unto Galilee, and there shall I meet them. And again, you know, I had a lot of thought that perhaps I would have a hard time relating these scriptures to this subject of victory. But to me, again, the resurrection of Christ was the victory. That was the perhaps the greatest victory that any man would ever know. And being a son of God, that resurrection kind of started the ball rolling. And I thought that how could we apply this to our lives in our everyday walk, that victory could be a part of our positive attitude as an individual who would desire to serve the Lord. And I thought, well, there's going to be some major factors that would contribute to this victory. And one of those factors that I felt very strongly was faith. That if we're going to be victorious in the ideal that God works with man, that God's going to make us victorious over whatever problem comes into our lives, we got to have faith that He is. And in that faith, I'd like to go to Hebrews, 11th chapter. I'd like to turn down this light. The 11th chapter and the first verse of Hebrew. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world was formed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, which he should not see death, and was not found, because God translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he was pleased, that he did please God. But without faith it is impossible to please God, to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And perhaps the last verse that I read, that it's impossible to please God unless you believe in him and are one who diligently seeks him. And if we have faith in a belief of a substance of things that are hoped for and evidence of things that are not seen, then this could be a great conquering power in our lives. I'd like to turn for another scripture concerning faith to Alma, 16th chapter and 143rd verse. And now And now, as I said concerning faith, faith is not having a perfect knowledge of things. Therefore, if you have faith, ye hope for things which are not seen, which are true. And now, behold, I say unto you, and I would that ye should remember that God is merciful unto all who believe on his name. Therefore, he desired in the first place that ye should believe, yea, even on his words. And now this kind of leads us into another aspect, perhaps, concerning faith, inasmuch as not only do we believe that he is, another tool of being victorious or being able to conquer problems and circumstances that come up in our lives is believing on his word, the things which he has caused to be written, even as the other scripture there I read, that he would fulfill all things that he has caused his holy prophets to write down through time. And if we believe that, again, that's a something that can be an uplifting, positive thing in our lives, as well as a strength that we can overcome. I'd like to turn to Proverbs in the third chapter. In the third verse, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And in this, you know, you might say, well, I really don't seem to have too much to do with faith. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding was perhaps the thing that really struck me in this reading. And that was that so many times in our lives, if we do lean to our own understanding, we're not going to be victorious. We're not going to be the one who overcomes, because as if we think about it, we fall so short in wisdom that God is so willingly to give us in wisdom that we can overcome these things. I'd like to read another scripture concerning faith. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, faith, but, and that is in Romans in the first chapter. I'd like to ask, can you guys hear me in the back? Patricia, can you hear very well? Or Uncle Jim, he's the one. In the Romans, the first chapter, in the 16th verse, this scripture seems to kind of hit me pretty strong. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and to the Greek also to the Greek. And I believe that's a very important factor, is that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And I think that we can surely understand how this goes along with faith. And the idea of thinking that it is the power of God unto salvation, these words of God. And so we have to have faith in his words as well as faith that he is in his being and willingness to work with men and willingness to overcome. I was somewhat wanting to relate this scripture perhaps in concerning victory to spiritual victory. This is our way of having spiritual victory in our life is the gospel of Christ, is the power of God and salvation. It's the spiritual things that come up in our life is covered in the gospel of Christ. And I'd like to, as well as the scripture in Proverbs, I believe is very relating to the spiritual victory that we can find. I'd like to turn to Acts, in the 14th chapter of Acts. And the 8th verse. And there sat a certain man, a leper, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, whom never had walked. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfast behold him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And this is an example, of course, of faith of this man, that he had enough faith to be healed of this affliction, whatever affliction it happens to be. And I had another example of that, and that was in Mark, in the first chapter of Mark. Of course, the New Testament has lots and lots of examples of men or women had enough faith to be healed of physical afflictions. And that was in the first chapter of Mark in the 40th verse. And there came a leper to him, and this is Christ, the time of Christ, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down before to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leper departed from him and was clean. These two examples are physical things, physical healings, and I believe that we can be victorious in this way as well, in our physical lives, whether it be problems with our jobs or with our physical bodies or families. I believe he's promised us a victory as well in that. And of course, many of us and everyone has had many testimonies of similar experiences that they've been touched and healed physically, all kinds of stuff that was wrong with them and their families. So in that way, faith, these are the ways. I hope you can understand what I'm trying to relate to, in as much as this victory is in every aspect of our lives. This victory is physical, is spiritual, and most importantly, of course, is spiritual. And faith is one of the ways that we can help achieve victory. I'd like to talk just a little bit on another way that I felt very much importance in achieving this victory, and that is charity. And it seems like to me that that's an absolute must if we're going to work with our fellow man in this life and achieve this victory collectively and individually. I'd like to go to Colossians in the 3rd chapter. The 3rd chapter of Colossians, the 12th verse. Is that right? That's wrong. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bounds of mercy, kindness, humility, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against another, even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which also ye called in one body, and be ye thankful. Sorry about that. I had a hard time reading that. This charity, being the pure love of Christ, I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians and read another little spot there in charity. 13th chapter and first verse. Though I speak with the tongue of a man and of an angel and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and the understanding all miracles, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vileth not. Vanteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail, whether there shall be tongues, they shall cease, and whether there shall be knowledge, it shall be vanished away. Perhaps the strongest link between man and another man, and between man and God. And I believe it being such a strong link and such a great need for that to be in our lives, that is a must if we're going to have this victory. I hope when I read the last scripture that I have, it'll kind of all fit together a little bit more. But this charity must be active in us, along with faith and many other things, of course. But perhaps these two being very strong links in the chain between man and God and between man and his brother to enable us to overcome. I'd like to turn to Moroni in the 7th chapter. I know you're all really familiar with this one concerning charity. In the 49th verse. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lonely at heart. If so, his faith and hope, meek and lonely at heart, if so, his faith and hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God save the meek and lonely at heart. And if a man be meek and lonely at heart and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. You know, something that really has always interested me, of course, we read this scripture fairly often. We hear it read and concerning charity. But something that's always struck me, and if a man be meek and lonely at heart and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, that seems to be a key verse right there. Confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ. Again, I think that ties in with faith, because you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He must needs have charity, for if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, believeth all things, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Again, we're told that this charity never faileth. Everything else perhaps will fail, but charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whosoever is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. And now this kind of ties in to perhaps what will draw this all together. I hope it'll draw it all together, at least. This right here. And whosoever is found possessing it at the last day, it shall be well with them. And I believe, and of course, many of us believe that perhaps some here in this room or in the very near generations shall be those at the last day and will be in need of charity in a great way, of course. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of your heart that ye may be found with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and we may have his hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Something there that kind of gets me, that we would be like him. Now, that's, to me, that's a pretty big thing to ask of anybody, but it's certainly a goal, and certainly, I believe, certainly something to be victorious. Now, to me, the word victorious sounds kind of proud, you know. And I had some scriptures that I thought maybe humility, but I really didn't feel that humility was part of this. It's a very definite part of our lives, of course. And in this scripture, that we might be like him, I can't think that of anything that Christ wasn't victorious in. But on the same token, I can't think of anything that he wasn't a humble and a submissive individual when he walked and taught among men. I wondered. I prepared another sermon that I didn't get a chance to preach, and I wondered at the time I prepared it if how long it would take me to go through 10 scriptures or 15 scriptures, or I didn't know if it'd be long or short. But so I hope you don't mind if it's too short or too long. Looks like it might be a little short, but I have one scripture, and this is left somewhat longer than perhaps some of the others. But to me, this is perhaps the goal that we're looking for. And that's found in the third book of Nephi, in the 10th chapter. Starting with the first verse. But if they will repent and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them. And I believe he's talking to the Gentiles and to his seed of Jacob. I will establish my church among them, and they shall come into the covenant, which is the Gentiles, and be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob. And I believe that this is perhaps our goal, that we as a people would be instrumental in that last harvesting of the vineyard, in that last time when the word shall go out. And also as many of the house of Israel as shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. And of course we all look forward to that as well. And then shall they assist my people, that they may be gathered in, whom are scattered upon all the face of the land unto the New Jerusalem, and that they shall, and this is perhaps a part of the scripture that really touches me and lights a fire within my heart. That I would be victorious now, that I might have a part in this. And then shall they assist my people, that they may... I read that. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst. And then shall the word of the work of the Father commence. At that day even, then this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. And just that verse of the scripture is
you could call it a dream or a desire. But I would hope if I'm here in that part of the time of God's plan for this old world, earth, that I would be one who would be in position that I might be able to assist His people whenever the power of heaven shall come down among. Verily I say unto you, at that day shall the work of the Father commence among all the despaired of my people, yea, even the tribes which have been lost, which the Father hath led away out of Jerusalem. Yea, the work shall commence among all the despaired of my people, with the Father to prepare the way before them, the way whereby they may come unto me, this is still Christ speaking, that they may call on the Father in my name. Yea, then shall the work commence, that the Father among all nations, with the Father among all nations, to prepare the way whereby this people may be gathered home to the land of their inheritance. And they shall go out from all nations, and they shall not go out in haste, nor go by fright, for I will go before them, saith the Father, and I will be their rearward, and then shall they, with that which is written, come to pass. And again, he refers to that which is written in the scriptures, in the prophecies, down through the ages of time. I hope, I don't see anybody sleeping out there, so I was kind of concerned about Jim back there, but I guess he's listening. I hope that somehow I've been able to relate this message that I felt very strongly as I was driving up home yesterday, impressed upon my heart in some feeble manner, that I could relate this to you, that we might have a desire within our hearts to be one of these in this day, and to be victorious in our lives. You know, so many times we want to reach out to other people, but if we're depressed, if we're down, it's hard to convince someone else that you got it going for you whenever you can't show it to them in your life. And so I would hope that we would have a positive attitude. I believe the gospel of Christ is a positive gospel. It ain't a gospel of sadness. It didn't say that we were going to have a bed of roses, but anything that comes into our lives, we're capable of overcoming. Does it make no difference if it's a guy pulling a stupid trick and shooting himself in the eye, or if it's a major setback, spiritually, physically, financially? Enduring to the end, perhaps, is a key thing, but if we endure to the end with a positive attitude, so many times we're so negative that we're whipped before we start. I just believe that if we have a positive attitude, we're going to be victorious in whatever we do, as long as we're holding God's hand and listening to His voice. I really don't have too much more to say. I had a thought of more scriptures I could have put in concerning faith or concerning charity. But we know what faith is. We know what charity is. It's just a matter of applying those things to our lives in a way that will enable us to be instruments of good, and to be instruments of positive, instruments that are overcoming things in our lives, not being set back. I kind of wanted to give a testimony tonight. I didn't know if I thought about giving it kind of before and starting it out that way. It's kind of somewhat difficult for me to say because of my emotions. And perhaps it might even be more difficult for you to understand because sometimes I don't speak that plainly and clearly. My vocabulary is somewhat limited. But I just feel... such a power and presence of that love contained in these walls. It was made very evident to me in the last, ever since my ordination, last 4 weeks, 5 weeks. You know, just one thing after another, and then this, my little stay in a hospital. You know, people come up and visit me. And there was no reason that they had to drive all the way down there to South Phoenix to come visit me, but besides they wanted to. And I just feel so strongly when the day comes that we can have the love for the people outside the gospel that we have for the people in the gospel. We're going to see a lot of things happen. Because due to that measure of love is going to be somewhat due to the measure of the strength and the power we go out with. And I just, my testimony was that love, there's no word that can explain that to me or that I can express it to you. You know, my mom and dad are sitting down there tonight. And that's just one more example of that love that he's shown to me, that I was fortunate enough to have a family that would be interested in the gospel, and one more witness that they would take the time and the effort to drive down here to see me preach my first sermon, if you want to call it that. And it's just one thing after another. You know, I sat up here and I looked over here. And my brother Hubert. And he just kind of gives me a little wink there, you know. And I look down there at Tom. And he does the same thing. Such an encouraging, positive attitude. You know, everyone, you're going to do fine. See, that's what they told me. You're going to do fine. And that's a positive attitude. They had confidence that I would be all right and I would stand up here and talk for an hour about something. Or a half an hour, 45 minutes. But I just so feel like when we can apply that positive attitude and that love to every aspect of our lives and to the children of men whom we come in contact with, this day, when he talks about this gospel going to the remnant of the seed of Jacob, which is our job, we'll be that much closer. I hope that somehow you could understand me through all the blubbering of these tears and my emotions and my one blind eye trying to read this crazy stuff here, but I just appreciate each one of you sitting out there. I appreciate the opportunity that I can stand up and serve God in some way. And I hope that I can do it many times in the future. and maybe with more success than this. I don't know how bad or good I did. It's hard to judge yourself, I guess, when you stand up here. I'll probably know when I listen to the tape. But I want to thank all of you for your support for the last 2 years, or 3 years almost now. For this gentleman over here, who's let me live in his house, encourage me and give me the answers to the questions. Just one more example of that love that overcomes when supplied in a positive attitude. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew.
Remember, there's some sort of service every night this week, but Friday, so don't forget them. Our closing song will be number 37. for all the blessings of life that we have received. We thank Thee for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came into this world, who lived and who died for us. We thank Thee for His great love, and that Thou hast touched our hearts and caused us to desire to follow after Thee. Bless us, Father, day by day, that the living presence of Jesus Christ might be a part of our thinking and our thought, our desires and aspirations, that we might be guided and directed by Thy Holy Spirit, that we might be strengthened by Thee, that we might be victorious over all that comes in life, that we might overcome the world and our own weaknesses and frailties, and having done all, to stand and bear a testimony of Thee before the children of men. We pray Thee, O God, Thou wilt accept of our gratitude, not only for the gospel and for our Savior, but for this opportunity once again to meet with loved ones, with brothers and sisters bound by that gospel and by the unity of the Holy Spirit in this moment of fellowship before Thee. We thank Thee for our young brother who has been called into Thy service and delivered this message of beauty to us tonight. And help us, Father, each and every one, that day by day, the promises that are contained in the Holy Scriptures, relevant to Thy will and to Thy purpose in these latter days, might indeed light a fire within us each, and be a light and a beacon. Help us, Father, that we might walk worthy, that we can be used by Thee in the fulfillment of Thy will. And we shall ever give to Thee thanksgiving and praise. For in our weakness and humanness, we are unable. And so we call upon Thee, Lord, to strengthen us by the power of Thy Holy Spirit. We call upon Thee to help us that we might lay aside the weaknesses and frailties and sins that have so easily beset us, that we might grow in faith and in charity and in hope, in humility and submission before Thee, even as did our Master and Savior, that we might be useful instruments in Thy hand. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.